Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Now, here's Craig.
Craig and Greg talk Shepherd Leadership. I have known Greg Harris for almost 30 years. During that time, we have grown as close as brothers, partnering on numerous projects both personally and professionally. One of our shared passions is developing leaders. Out of this passion, we began a video and audio podcast called The Craig and Greg Show. We switched up our format just a bit in a recent episode so that Greg could interview me about my book, Shepherd Leadership, The Metrics That Really Matter. I was also thrilled to receive an endorsement from another church leadership blogger that I greatly admire. Dan Ryland said, "In his new book, Shepherd Leadership, Craig T. Owens gets to the heart of pastoral ministry and caring about people with great wisdom. Jesus sets the example for us as the Good Shepherd, and Craig delivers practical principles for healthy leadership that allows you the opportunity for freedom as God intended, joy in serving, and ultimately experiencing the full blessing of God." If you would like to watch the video of the Craig and Greg Show, I've shared that link in the show notes. Now, here's the Craig and Greg Show.
Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome to the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig. This is Greg. We are always glad that you have come to join us. And thanks for some of the comments that you've sent. It helps us get some ideas of what we can be sharing with you. We want to be able to address the content and the concerns that you have. So keep those messages and those comments coming our way. You can always shout out at us at Maximize Podcast on Twitter, and we will include that in an upcoming broadcast. So, Greg, I took something on that I never, I really didn't envision myself taking on, but I did it.
This is where I get to toot the horn, you know.
Beep, beep.
Exactly. I want you to tell the audience how it kind of came about, but first off, put a little background to it. So you and I have chatted about writing, and I've written some, and you're well on your way to writing more than a couple now. But a book is such a great way to convey content, a challenge, maybe even turn it on its head. And so I think that's kind of the book's result for the readers will be servant leadership has kind of been a phrase about leadership, description about leadership that has been used a lot. And maybe this study is going to maybe share more of the metrics of what is servant leadership, not to be a servant leader. And Craig, just share kind of how it came about. It was kind of unique how you even were found.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been blogging for almost 13 years. And my you would ask me, my wife would ask me, would be like, "Hey, when are you going to write a book?" And my response was always the same thing. I don't even know how to start. Like, you know, do I write a book first and then find a publisher, or do I find a publisher and then kick around some ideas? But Tom Freeling reached out to me. Tom was at Oral Roberts University the same years that Betsy and I were there. And as far as we can tell, we never crossed paths during that time.
Really?
And so here we are all these years later, and he's on LinkedIn, and he's just saying, "Let me see if I can find any other fellow alums to connect with."
Oh, okay.
And he comes across my name, says, "Oh, he went, you know, to college same time I did," and started poking around, found my blog. And then he said the same thing, goes, "Wonder if this guy's ever written a book." Yeah. And so he emailed me, said, "Hey, have you ever thought of writing a book?" And I told him the same thing that I told you. I don't know how to start. And he goes, "I know how to start and I know how to finish." Mm-hmm. And so he said, let me look at your blog a little bit more. And he says, "And I especially am interested in this idea of leadership." He says, "And you kind of think about it." And just over the next couple of days, this thought kept coming back to me because I have these conversations that people will say to me, "How are things going at your church?" And almost before I can answer, the follow-up question is, "How many are you running on Sunday morning?" And that you use that word metric, that always made me like go, is that the gauge of success? So I started answering the question this way. I'd say, "What if I said 300? Mm-hmm. And they get really excited. And then I say, "Well, what if I said 20? And then they start looking confused. Mm. So what if 300 only show up Sunday morning and I never see them again? What if 20 show up Sunday morning, but I see them all week long, and they're interacting in their community, and they're taking what they hear on Sunday and they're putting it into action.
Right.
Which is the better metric of success? And so people are like, well, the 20. Like, so then why are we counting? Why are we just looking for big numbers?
Mm-hmm.
And so shout out to Kristen Chesky, my editor. She's the one that came up with the idea of the subtitle of the book, The Metrics That Really Matter. And that's what I want in this book, is to take people back to, why are we trying to measure success by things that really, when it comes down to it, don't tell us whether we're being successful or not?
It does. For those of you all in leadership who are watching, leadership isn't really a very easy task. Mm. But of the fascinating piece is when you look at servant leadership, and whether you're in a business or an organization, the challenge in leadership is just that. Like you're talking about metrics of maybe a church or a nonprofit or something. Why do we count numbers? In leadership, someone could say, oh, I have 150 employees.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, that doesn't show the value or the influence or the right. impact of leadership, does it?
No. And that's why, so I, the original thought that I had was to call the book Servant Leadership.
Yeah.
And then as I started researching and putting some things together, I made this subtle shift and I switched it to Shepherd Leadership mm-hmm. because I thought about it in this term, a shepherd doesn't give birth to other sheep.
Mm-mm.
A shepherd just creates the environment where the sheep can be healthy enough to reproduce themselves. And that should be our role as leaders. We've talked about this numerous times mm-hmm. that the leaders can't do everything in the organization. No. In fact, no. if they're trying to do everything, then it's really not very healthy.
Right.
But when you're saying, okay, let me create the environment that makes it possible for you to advance and for you yeah. to reproduce, then I've done my job.
And maybe a little synonymous, you know, the shepherd and the servant. In back in Bible times, the shepherds weren't really the desired people to hang around.
No.
They did smell.
Yep.
And they had to be nomadic to move whatever flock they were tending to the next green pasture.
Yep.
So they weren't super rooted. But yet shepherding people, I mean, the parable of 99 and the one lost sheep,
right.
He risked the whole thing to go find one. And I think that's shepherd leadership challenge. And you've got 15 chapters in a book.
Right.
All of them very interesting to me. And you all need to get this. When's it come out? In a month?
September 28th.
September 28th. So keep checking with Maximize Leadership and the podcast and our YouTube channels. But I think the two that really jumped out, Craig, chapter 5 talks about that. I want to call it balance, but I like the word tension a yes. little better.
Yeah, I like that word too.
Yeah, so the tension between confidence as a leader, because mm-hmm. the group needs to feel you can march them down the field
yes.
and score yep. to win. At the same time, that confidence is yin-yanged or intentioned yes. with humility.
Yes.
And they don't feel like they should be... the same, you know, like, oh, confidence and humility. We pick one. And there's where your point comes out. It isn't a pick one.
Right.
It's an and.
Right. So I actually have two chapters. One is talking to the person that would mainly tend towards being more confident.
Yeah.
How do you add humility? And then the second chapter is those that tend towards more humility. How do you add the confidence that's necessary? Because it does have to be both. A confident leader might get you down the field, but might just run people over on the way.
Yeah.
The humble leader is going to make sure that everybody's getting along, but they're going to have a hard time saying charge, you know,
getting right. down. Yeah.
And you do have to have both. And I think that word tension is really good. And it doesn't have to be in a negative sense because, you know, if you think about if you're driving around outside and you look at, you know, a pole that's holding up the electric lines, there needs to be the proper tension. Otherwise, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that line is sagging down there, or you got a problem if it's pulling too tight and it's snapping. So there does have to be that adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found is that a lot of people are completely unaware of the fact of how they're leading. So I tend to be more on the confident side. And I remember coming home one time and telling my wife, I'm like, you know, ta-da, look at this project I just finished. I got it done. On time, and I got it done under budget, and nobody thought we were going to, and look at this. And instead of getting the applause, I got this. And I said, uh-oh, what was that? And so she said, yep, you got it done. Now take a look over your shoulder, and look how many people that you ran over to get it done.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, you know, that was an eye opener for me that I need to slow down a little bit to, I can't just impose my will on everybody and just get this done. I have to have balance that. And so the two words that I interplay with is either confident humility or humble confidence. Mm-hmm. That's where the leader needs to keep on making those micro adjustments to keep that tension.
It's a great chapter because it feels like someone would pick one based on maybe their personality or what they like to have in their leadership. So if they were going to be following a leader or part of a leadership team, I like more humility. But then the other person's saying, well, I don't have confidence because you seem it's a little soft.
Yep.
And it's a tough balance for a lot. There's a quote that says, humility is royalty without a crown.
Yeah.
And I love that because I think confidence, we will pick someone like you're great at identifying people's talents and qualities. Oh, they got good qualities, good talent, good confidence. But humility often isn't brought up as like a behavior or a trait of a successful high-performing leader, and it should be.
Right. Well, my favorite definition of humility is what C.S. Lewis said, that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less.
Right.
And so the confident leader has a tendency to go, I'm going to get it done.
You're right, yeah.
And then say, well, stop thinking about yourself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's the same thing. We could use the exact same quote for the one who's more humble. We could say, why do you keep putting yourself down? Why do you keep thinking, they know how to do it better than I do. I'm going to let them. No, you're the leader. There's a reason why you've been placed in this position. Mm-hmm. And so you do need to leverage that confidence move the team forward.
Many great chapters. Another one that jumped out, my son Austin and I like the number 13. We may have put that on a jersey or uniform a couple times in our life, but the 13th chapter talks about relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's not about just having relationships, it's the right kinds. Yes. Yep. Ones that will help you move forward, and then also ones that might give you a little boundary and margin. Hey, leader, that's a little too far, or that's not feeling good to us. But the other one would be the place of a great relationship leader would have wonderful safety and security, but also have a great semblance of, I got a lot of wonderful people in my life, and I need to be responsible. So kind of expound on the value of a shepherd leader and relationships, the ability, because sheep aren't the relationship in the real world, but in church or others, you know, to have humans and just making yourself that much better.
Well, I think, you know, it's been said, if you want to go fast, you go alone. But if you want to go far, you go with somebody.
Right.
And I think that one of the reasons why is not only the encouragement that you get when you're going with other people, but I think as well, and I share in the chapter examples of people who were very strong leaders, but they have this blemish on their record that came from a time when they were by themselves. They didn't have somebody around them to check them to say, you're straying here. You're getting off the path. And so there was a stumble in their leadership that wouldn't have had to necessarily been there if they would have kept strong people around them. Mm-hmm. And again, that goes back to that part of that humble confidence is to say, I can lead, but I can't do everything on my own.
No,
I need somebody to watch my back or I need somebody. I got some blind spots over here. I need somebody that can say, hey, hold on a second here. You know, a verse from the Proverbs in the Bible that you and I have used quite a bit that says wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy only multiplies kisses. Mm-hmm. Somebody that just tells you all the time, you're wonderful, positive, you're wonderful, positive, you're wonderful.
Fluff, fluff, fluff.
That's not helping you with anything.
Right, right.
But somebody that loves you enough to say, hey, look, this is going to hurt for me to say this to you. This is going to wound you, but I love you enough to tell you you're getting off the path here.
I like it.
And that's really, I think that's what helps leaders go further without having the baggage of like, oh, there was a stumble back there because I tried to go solo and I left people behind. And if I would have had those people around me, those real friends that would have said, you know, I love you enough to wound you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad path. This is a bad choice you're making right here.
The combo of a leader who sometimes needs to be alone. I mean, Jesus did that a lot in the Bible, where mm-hmm. he was with people and then he went alone to refresh, self-care, mm-hmm. Pray, reset, whatever his needs were. And he doesn't really share why.
Sure.
That doesn't be the reason. I think for us in today's world, we need those reasons mm-hmm. To self-care and to reset. And sometimes friends will point that out.
Yes.
I shared in a previous episode, I was working with a leader of a very large nonprofit, and we used to go over books and talk about leadership together and just invest in each other, much like what you and I do. And he came in one time and I'm like, oh, we're not talking about the book today because he looks worn out.
Yep.
He was trying to do it on his own.
Yep.
So I think the tie-in, Craig, and I'm really proud of you on this book, Tom and his team found you, and then probably this mock speed because of how you could build out your blog material on yep. this theme, and then you got your chapters written. It's like, this is definitely supposed to get out there for the readers, which is so cool. I'm yep. very proud of you.
Thanks.
And so I think the final question, or maybe a wrap-up, when you started this project, what did you kind of feel could be a hopeful use of this book, and who might be the right audience? And I'm kind of speaking to the listeners today, but who would benefit? Why would they benefit? Kind of how did you create this book, and then your hopes on how would it be implemented?
Well, one of the things I told Kristen, my editor, right at the front, is I said, check me on this. I don't want to sound like I'm on my soapbox. I don't want to sound like I'm preaching at people. What I'm really desirous of with this book is that it's going to bring freedom to some people, because I yeah. think that there's a lot of leaders that feel like they're not being successful because they're using the wrong metric to gauge their success.
Which can be defeating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've not looked up the statistic, but I've heard that like pastors, the number one day that they will resign or write their letter of resignation is on a Monday morning.
Yep.
Because they just, poured their guts out on Sunday, and then they're like, was it successful?
Mm.
I think that part of that, if you're listening and you're the member of a board, maybe that's supporting a church or a nonprofit, here's what I found is a lot of those board members, well-meaning people, but many times in a church or a nonprofit, the board members tend to be business people. Mm-hmm. And those business people are used to tangible results. They're used
measurable.
To like, right. So we can see something on the bottom yeah. line or whatever, mm-hmm. but that it doesn't work that way in those nonprofits. And so I hope that this book will not only give freedom and joy to some of these leaders, but I hope that some of the board members, it will help them get on the same page mm-hmm. with the leader to say, maybe we've been trying to measure the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And I'll just close with this. I tell a funny story in the book. I had a church board that said to me, hey, what's the plan to grow the church? And I said, well, what do you mean by grow? And they like looked at me like I was dumb. They're like, grow the church.
I'm
like,
no, Captain
just
Obvious.
Saying the word again doesn't change it. But I said, okay, well, here's a suggestion. Out on the, you're right on a main street. You got a marquee. Let's put on the marquee out there. Let's put free $50 gift certificate for all first-time visitors. I said, you should have the church packed on Sunday. And they all looked at me. They're like, no. And so I said, oh, is that not what you mean by grow? And they're like, no, mm-hmm. so when you actually confront people and say, by growth, do you mean more bodies in here? Do you mean more donors? Do you mean more, well, no, that's not what we really mean. Okay, well, good. Let's get mm-hmm. on the same definition of what it means to be successful.
I think in closing, you think about folks who are in philanthropy, whether it's a nonprofit or it could be a faith organization, church, school, whatever. Even the donors ask those questions.
Sure.
Well, how many kids are you serving in your after-school program?
Yeah.
7,246. Oh, I'll give you 10 grand.
Yeah.
We serve about 60 kids a day, and they vary. So we'll serve about 300, but maybe some overlap. Only 300. I'll give you $500. I mean, we even in the philanthropy world can get caught up in measuring, is it worth our money if it's not a big number?
Right.
So if you want to close and maybe challenge the readers and listeners for the book coming up.
Well, I the book comes out September 28th. We're going to have both an ebook and a print book. You can go to shepherdleadershipbook.com and see some pre-release offers. We also just recorded the audiobook version. That will come out a couple weeks early before the print and ebook versions that you can get as well. And like I said, my desire, my hope in writing this book was that it's going to bring freedom to you and bring some joy that you're going to say, oh, okay, been measuring the wrong thing. And if we start measuring the right thing, those feelings of success will follow. So appreciate your comments, your feedback on not only the book, but any leadership topic that you would like us to discuss. Check out MaximizeLeadership.com to get more information about the coaching huddles and the other things that Greg and I do. And make sure that as you subscribe on YouTube, click that bell so you're notified the next time an episode of the Craig and Greg Show drops. We'll talk to you soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.